Hello, and welcome to show number 2432 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program covering a wide variety of topics of interest to people with vision loss. I'm Nancy Goodman Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy. Well, if you think you might be interested in bowling, this show will probably strike you just right.
Participating in a sport can get you out meeting people, making friends, and staying healthy by being active. We'll talk with Robert Doc Wright, who has been a blind bowler for many years. He'll tell us how the sport works for someone with vision loss and how you can find one of the many blind bowling leagues around the country. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Doc Wright.
The biggest thing is, no matter what the sport might be, whether it's recreational or if you want to get better, there is material out there, whether it's in audiobooks or even using a Google search, that will give you the information you need to help to get better. It's all based on how much you really want to improve.
And that's true not just of every sport, but at work, at school, at any other kind of hobby, anything you do.
Mm-hmm.
Great advice.
Yeah.
As Pete is always telling me, let Google be your friend.
And Google can point you to all kinds of useful resources. There is so much out there on the web these days. YouTube is a great source of learning and finding out about new areas of interest. So try it all.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Let's start by meeting Doc.
Okay, my name is Robert Wright. Most people know me by Doc. I used to be the league secretary for our bowling league, the Colorado Blind Bowling Association. But now I get to be just a bowler, and I'm enjoying being just a bowler.
So as a member of the Colorado Blind Bowling Association, I assume you've got a visual impairment?
I am totally blind.
And has that been for a long time?
Yes, it has been since 76. It started due to glaucoma. They discovered I had glaucoma when I was 12, but they didn't check for glaucoma normally at that time until you were in your 30s. And so by the time they realized what it really was, I was already in secondary stages, and all they could do was try to keep what sight I had as much as they could, and it took like 7 years later before it all went.
Well, hopefully they do check for that these days. That was my situation too. I was born in the 50s, and they didn't realize that infants could be born with glaucoma.
Yep, and the same here. I'm a 58er.
When you're not bowling, what else do you do?
Well, I do a lot of pro bono tech support. And I'm in the process of this big project of transcribing the Bible.
Oh, into Braille?
Well, actually, I just switched and started doing it in Braille just so I could keep my Braille skills up. But I teach through the week. I have a devotional on my Team Talk server that I teach on Fridays and Saturdays. And there's an online church service that another organization brought me in on to be their Sunday school teacher. The biggest part is when I'm not doing that, then my hobbies is reading, cooking. My specialty that seems to have really swung off is I make homemade ice cream. And it's gotten to the point where people have been wanting to buy it.
Sounds like you keep quite busy. That's nice.
Yes, it's... Although my wife calls me a sound hound because I do a lot of audio editing. I'm a musician, so I play bass guitar, drums. I'm trying to learn piano. But this place is full of speakers here.
Support for Eyes on Success comes from our listeners and corporate sponsors.
For more information about airing promotional items on the show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is bowling for people with vision loss, and in particular, the experience of bowling with the Colorado Blind Bowling Association. We checked out the Colorado Blind Bowling Association's website, and on it they say, "Bowling is fun and anyone can do it." That is the mantra that keeps the industry thriving. Denver, Colorado has a stellar example. Crown Lanes has hosted the Colorado Blind Bowling Association every weekend since the 1990s, when three ladies began the tradition. After 50 years, the league is still going strong. According to one of the members, blind bowling is just bowling, except handrails help bowlers navigate their lanes. Once they've thrown, sighted teammates fill them in on how many pins they've knocked down.
Well, Doc, we want to talk about blind bowling today. And as you mentioned in the introduction, you've been bowling for quite a long time and are blind. Can you tell us a little bit about the organization of which you're a member?
Yes. The organization started back in 76. One of my adopted sisters, who I just claimed as a sister, her name was Marlene Kaiser. She and another friend had started it then. I came in first time in 88 when I moved here to Colorado and got involved then. And then I took a year off and came back, and I've been solid pretty much since 91. I find it fascinating because before I lost my sight, I just looked at bowling as just something that people did for recreation. I never saw it as a sport. But once I got involved in it, I tend to analyze, I tend to practice. And my highlight happened in 2014. We bowl normally on Saturday mornings. And I bowled my personal best that day, and I bowled a 220.
Wow.
I had to sit down. Because I had been trying so hard to break that 200 mark, and the closest I had come for years was a 199.
Oh, how frustrating.
Yeah, and you get that, you just ask this, that one pin. And this particular day, I wasn't even thinking about it. I just went out to bowl when I had to bowl.
How did you first get interested in bowling? What started this hobby?
Well, I've always been in sports. And after losing my sight and going to the Missouri School for the Blind, they got me back into sports when I thought it was over, basically in track and field. And track and field took me overseas four times for high jump. It was my specialty at that time. And I've competed in Holland and Rome, Italy, in Sweden, and in Japan. And I finally retired from the really physical stuff, because I also played a form of baseball called beat baseball. And I also played goalball, which is an adaptive form of, actually it's not adapted at all. It was created specifically for the blind. And you're on a court similar to a volleyball court. And you have, each team has three people on the floor and everybody's blindfolded. You have a ball a little bit bigger than a basketball that has bells in it. And the object is to try to roll the ball and you get it past your opponent. And I did that for 20 years. I did beat ball for 20 years, and now my bowling, now we're going over 33.
Wow, you really know how to have fun and keep fit. You said that the Colorado Blind Bowling Association meets once a week on Saturday mornings, but you don't get to bowling a 220 without a lot more practice than that. How often do you figure you bowl?
I go at least on average, maybe twice a week. The weather, we're at a point where I would go and we would practice right before the league started. But we had a family come and buy the bowling alley we bowl at, which is called Crown Bowling Lanes. And they've had so many leagues and tournaments start up that we don't get that extra time anymore. So we have to, once we get there, we get maybe the 15 minutes for practice before league actually starts now. But I come back when I can during the week and practice. And I finally got some other folks from the league who come and practice with me. One gentleman, when he first started at last fall, his average was like in the 90s. And he's a partial. He ended the season with a 120 average. And it was this Saturday before last, on the 4th, we went to practice because he's going to be one of the ones going to the tournament in Reno. But he broke 200 for the first time in his life, bowling at 232. And I was teasing him because right before he came to practice, he had just been on a 22-mile tandem bike ride.
It's nice to know that everybody can stay so active, and it actually has to be a nice social event also where you can network with other people with similar interests.
The league itself is mixed with both sighted and blind. So we have totals, partials, and sighted bowlers. And the sighted bowlers also know that their job also is to let the bowlers on their team know what pins are left.
That's a good idea. You don't want to have to walk down to the end of the alley and count them yourselves. Now, when I was young and living in New York City, I went to the Lighthouse for the Blind in their recreational program that they had on weekends, and they had bowling for blind children at the time. And what they did was they put bumpers in the gutters so you couldn't get a gutter ball, and I think they had you hold on to a rail and you would sort of walk along the rail, swing the ball the way a sighted person would, and sort of try to center it relative to the rail. But I take it that's not the way you guys do it these days. Can you tell us how it's done?
Actually, it's pretty close. We still have the rail that goes from the left gutter back to the beginning of the approach, and the rail is about hip high for most, so it's close to like almost 4 feet high. And the bowler uses that as a reference to straight. And they take their time with as far as their approach is concerned. And the biggest thing is we've noticed that there is a big difference between bowlers who have never had sight and then those who have had sight and have memories of what the pins look like to have an idea of where to release. At least that's what has actually helped me a lot, is having that memory to look back on.
What's the difference between people who used to have sight and never had sight and how they approach bowling?
In many cases, what I've noticed is most of them have memories from based on how they were taught and when they should have their release. We have a tutorial on our webpage on coblindbowling.org that teaches bowling. It gives a lot of background on when bowling started. It gives information on what a person needs to do, what equipment they need to do. All that is in on that one page on the coblindbowling.org, a whole tutorial. I think it's the thing that helps a person to get better is the knowledge of what they really need to do.
So you think it's an advantage to have had some vision to know how the lane is laid out, how the pins are laid out, and the actions people are taking when they actually bowl?
What I've done, because I do a lot of the coaching too, since I'm so interested in watching people improve, you will take them, say, for example, on the far end where the maintenance people go down to get, if there's a problem with the pins, there's one lane that's outside the bowling lanes themselves, but it's a walkway that takes you back toward the back. And so I have taken bowlers from and have them walk the distance down to where the pins would be so they can have an idea of how far they're actually rolling the ball.
I was wondering if they had some kind of tour like that, because knowing the distance to the pins is something that a blind person wouldn't know if they've never seen the alley and how the pins and the gutters are all arranged.
Right. That's one thing to talk about, rolling a ball 60 feet. And another thing to at least walk it yourself so you can at least have an inkling.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and if you've never seen the motions that people make when they bowl, I would guess that would make it a little bit harder for you to replicate the action that's needed to bowl effectively.
Right.
So you mentioned that the lane is 60 feet long. How wide is it?
It is, I guess, on the whole, 5 feet from gutter to gutter.
So that means you need to roll this ball incredibly close to perfectly straight, because to go up the middle, that would be perfectly straight. But to be off into one of the gutters, that's like after 60 feet, you've only gone sideways by 2.5. That's really close to straight. How do you manage that without being able to see the lane?
I think the biggest thing is in the release, because it's not always. We have people who do throw straight balls. My arm is slightly crooked, so mine has a natural curve, and it tends to spin from right to left. So I have to get an angle usually so I can get the ball to hook right where I need it to. One of our league secretary is our best bowler, and he tries to help, and he'll give you ideas of lane conditions and what you might need, how you might need to bowl differently. I do a whole lot of book reading about bowling, and then I even surf the net about bowling to check on what things I might need to do to improve.
So do you use bumpers in the gutters or not?
Nope. This house doesn't even have any.
That's basically for kids.
Yeah, well, even the kids not at this particular house, they've never had them at all. We've been at this particular house since 1999. And I remember somebody asked them about bumpers, and they said they've never had them.
Huh. I understand that there's an interesting story behind the relationship between the Crown Bowling Alley and the Colorado Blind Bowling Association.
Our biggest thing, I guess, is that to this day, I can't remember how we found them, but we had been around to several houses throughout the years. But when we came here, they were kind to us. They keep our rails that we use. They store them for us. They put them up, and we take them down. And so that's the one little big thing. But as I said, we've been there now since 1999. I think one time they thought about moving, and of all things, they didn't. The one house we looked at, they didn't want to move there because they didn't serve breakfast.
Oh, geez.
So it really is partially a social sport also, that people can mix and have fun with other people.
Yes. I think that's what makes it and helps it just to last. Although I think we are at a point where we need to get younger bowlers.
In addition, the Colorado Blind Bowling Association website tells the following story. In 2018, Crown Lanes was bought by KC and Jackie Falsgraf. The couple's daughter, Shauna, was diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor as an infant. They hoped she would find some inclusion at the center. Her outgoing personality helped the Blind League embrace her. Today, Crown Lanes hosts a handful of adaptive bowling leagues. The spirit and that of the community of other bowlers with special needs is strong. Bowling is special. Anyone can participate.
It sounds like you've bowled close to 200 a number of times, and 200 is good even for a sighted individual. Are the better blind bowlers reasonably competitive with sighted people?
There are some, yes. There was a gentleman I met who his average was like 140 when I met him, and we had met before in track and field. I used to always tease him because he had the hardest name to live up to. His name was Mike Champion.
Oh, geez.
But I think the biggest thing, I think, is based on how much do you really want it. It will determine the effort that you put in it to be better. We have some who just come for the recreation. And that's fine, because that's what we're there for. But we do have those who come be competitive. And that has always been me.
And I guess that's true of almost any sport. Some people just like to have fun, be outside, be active, be with other people. And some people being more competitive, if you want to get good, you have to practice.
Yep, and be willing to take notes from someone who's been there, who may be able to help you improve.
So I do have one question. You said that they put the rail for the blind person to follow as they're throwing the ball on the left-hand side. That implies everybody's a right-handed bowler. I happen to be a left-handed bowler. What do you do for people like me?
Well, unfortunately, we've had a couple of left-handed bowlers, and we had bought some extra rails so that we could set it up for them. It made things kind of difficult because when you're doing league and that left-handed bowler shows up on against your team, then you're going to have two sets of rail setting up on the lane, and it makes the lane really narrow.
So are there circumstances in which, as you're bowling, even if you're trying to go a little bit to the right of center, that you would run into a rail that had been positioned on the other side of the lane for somebody who's left-handed?
Actually, it's real close. I actually have been at a point where if I had left the 7 pin, which is on the far left-hand side right next to the gutter, usually you want to go at an angle to try to get that pin. So it means if you're right-handed and you're standing, try to move as far right as you can so you can go from right to left. It's real easy to find that left-handed rail.
Interesting.
See, I'm a lefty, but I was never taught how to bowl left-handed when I was growing up.
So you bowl righty even though you're left-handed?
Yes, I bowl right-handed.
And I guess at some point you need some good sighted assistance to coach you when you don't get all the pins down, which is almost inevitable. They need to tell you what remaining pins are up and where you should aim the ball.
Right. And some will even give you an idea how close you were to the gutter in your release. They give you an idea what the ball did.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun, and it sounds like you've really had a good time bowling through the years and met lots of fun people.
Most definitely.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about blind bowling, how to get involved, and how to contact Doc Wright.
Well, Doc, if people want to get involved in bowling for themselves, whether they live in Colorado or someplace else, what advice would you give them?
Well, the best way is they can contact the American Blind Bowling Association, and their webpage is abba 1951.org. They can also go to our webpage, which is coblindbowling.org. And there they can get information about bowling, about how to start, and even things on how, if they wanted to start their own league, what it will take to do so.
If somebody has a question, is there a email address or phone number they could use?
They can contact me, Robert Wright, and my main one I can use for that, it would be WRIGHTS, that's in Sierra, and the word iPhone @gmail.com.
So this national organization, I believe you mentioned before we started the interview, they have an annual tournament?
Yes, and it will be in Reno, Nevada.
Are you going?
This year, no.
Have you been?
I think the last time I went was in 2010, I think it was. And that one was in North Carolina.
And if you go to the website of the American Blind Bowling Association, they will always have information about the upcoming annual national tournament.
And of course, if you activate the link for this episode, which is episode 2432, you'll be able to find all of that information in case you missed it in the audio. Just go to www.eyesonsuccess.net. And if bowling isn't the sport that you're particularly interested in, we've done lots of episodes on a variety of sports throughout the years. Just enter the word sports in the search field on our website, or recreation. It's a great way to not only be active and stay healthy, but to meet other people and socialize and become part of your community.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking with Ian Kishore, the relatively recently appointed CEO of Benetech, parent company of Bookshare. He'll be talking about what's new, what's coming in the future, and how they're incorporating artificial intelligence into their offerings.
Thanks for joining us this week, and we hope you'll join us next week again.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening, and have a nice day.